Well, Hoboken and Grace, welcome. You get to see what it's like. We didn't know what to expect. We knew we had a lot of people traveling and out of the city, and so we decided that we would come together in one gathering today to be together as a family, and also because we've just got other things to do. And as we prepared for today, and as we got ready to come into this morning, I decided that I would come dressed the way that I've been dressed the rest of the week, and I did that on purpose because I want us to know that we're not done. That this is not a transition from what's been happening this week, and we're not done. We're just continuing. And the reason that we're here this morning, the reason that we come together this morning is not to break from helping people, but because we believe that this is absolutely essential in helping people. Because our ability to be able to help our neighbors, our ability to be able to continue to do what we've been doing for this past week is not based on our strength, but His strength. It's not based upon our provision, but His provision. And so this morning we come together to be able to fight for those around us, to be able to come before our God and to be able to fight for them. And we're going to spend some time in prayer as we go throughout the day. And I want to make sure that we know as we come to this point that we're not escaping what's happening around us, but that we're embracing it, and this is part of how we embrace that. This is part of how we fight for people. As we come before our God and we beg for them, we come before our God and we restore our energy and our souls so that we can continue to give to those around us. We know from the scriptures that our ability to love, it's based upon how we've been loved. And so this morning we come together as a family to see how we're united and to be able to receive that love from Him, to worship Him, and then to be able to move out into our community, to continue doing what we've been doing. If you've been away and haven't been able to see what's been happening, I have to tell you, I've been amazed at our family. Absolutely, positively amazed. The way in which so many of you have mobilized to be able to help people in different circumstances. And some of you have been working with us. Others of you have just been helping your neighbors in any way that you can. So many of you have taken people in. Worship night was awesome on Friday night as we had people come to one side of the room who had space for people to stay. And on the other side, people went over and began to make connections so that they had a warm place to stay for the last few nights. And as we come to today, we come together to be able to continue moving forward so that we can love more and more and more. And the truth is, for a lot of us, we are beginning to get back on our feet. For many of you here, you've got power now. I found out last night, late in the night, that my apartment got power. And what can happen in those situations is that we can begin to, because it no longer affects us, to believe that everything is just getting back to normal. But that's not okay. And that's not the reality that we live in. We've been in contact with the Housing Authority and with Carmelo Garcia and just learning about all the different ways that we can love. And as we work through the day today, we're going to share with you different ways that you can be a part of that even today. Right now, we have grill stations set up throughout the Housing Authority with our people who are out there right now while we're here. We're not stopping. They're out there loving, serving grilled cheese. Who knew that grilled cheese would be such a big deal? Someone brought that idea to us halfway through the week. We were doing hot dogs, and they were like, well, let's do grilled cheese. Grilled cheese is much bigger than hot dogs. We had no idea. People love grilled cheese. But we're not stopping. We're coming together to once again remind us of who makes this possible, to refill so that we can continue to move out into our city and continue to love. And today we're supposed to kick off this new series, Recovery. Just slightly ironic, don't you think? And today we're actually going to begin the series, but we're going to begin in a little bit different way. We're going to begin with a little bit different passage. It's a passage that in my life has confused me at times. It's a passage that I've spent a lot of time thinking about because it just doesn't necessarily make sense to me. It's a tiny little verse. It's actually the smallest verse that we find in the entire scriptures. And I want us to go to this story today because I think it speaks so incredibly to our situation and the situation around us. I think it not only speaks to our hearts and where we are, but to how we move forward from here and how God is working and how God is moving. So I want us to go there today. It's found in the book of John. chapter 11. And the verse is just three small words, but they're intriguing, intriguing words. I want to read it to you. It says this. It says, "Then Jesus wept." Now, I want to give you a little bit of the background of this story so that you understand what's happening here. Jesus had a group of people who were extremely close to him. It was actually two sisters and a man named Lazarus, and they were unbelievably close to him. They were very, very good friends with him. And we don't know exactly what happened in Lazarus's life, but Lazarus was about to die. And his sisters knew about this. We don't know if he's sick. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what the situation was, but we know that he was about to die. And so his sisters sent for Jesus, which makes perfect sense because at this time, Jesus is moving through the countryside and literally healing people by the thousands. He's just moving into cities and healing person after person after person after person. And so when Lazarus becomes sick, Mary and Martha send for Jesus and say, "Listen, Lazarus is sick. You've got to come help your friend." And the message makes it to Jesus, and he hears that Lazarus is sick, but he just continues to do what he's been doing. And I can imagine if you were his disciples, I can imagine what you're thinking. You just found out that your incredibly good friend is about to die. Jesus, shouldn't we be going now? Shouldn't we be moving on now? Shouldn't we be headed that direction? And Jesus just keeps doing what he's doing. And I'm sure for the disciples, they must have probably just rationalized it in their mind to say, well, you know, Jesus probably knows that he's not as sick as what they said he is. He'll get there on time. Or maybe Jesus is just going to heal him from here. We've seen him do miracles where he doesn't actually have to be there. Maybe Jesus is just going to heal him from here. I can only imagine what's running through their mind and what they're thinking as Jesus just continues to do exactly what he's been doing. But as the story continues, and Jesus eventually stops what he's doing and heads back to his friend's house, Lazarus dies. And Jesus shows up on the scene. And everybody's furious. And Lazarus' sister runs out to Jesus and she's like, "Listen, what is going on? Why didn't you come sooner? If you had come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died." The people around him are saying, "What's wrong with this guy? He's healing all these other people, and then this person who's so close to him, he does nothing, and now Lazarus is dead. Not only is he dead, but by the time Jesus gets there, he's already been buried. It's over." And as these people are sharing with Jesus what had happened, Jesus does something that to me is confusing. It's that verse that we just read. It says, Jesus wept. Jesus sits down and begins to weep. For the pain that's around him and the situation that's around him. And to me, this doesn't make sense because, you could have done something about it. You could have done something to stop it, Jesus. You didn't actually have to experience this pain. You could have showed up sooner and nothing would have gone wrong. And to me, that doesn't make sense because I never, or very seldom in my life, do I ever choose to experience pain. Very, very seldom in my life do I ever choose to go through something that I know is going to cause me pain. But as I look at this story with Jesus, I see him operate in such a way in which he chooses to experience pain. And it doesn't make sense to me. And in your life and in my life, I don't know if you're like me, but I don't make that decision. I mean, we rarely ever make that decision. There's just like a few small examples where we do. And as I was working through this, I thought about my wife and I, and we're thinking about having our third child, and my wife thinks about being pregnant, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, it's going to be so painful." And then she looks at Caden and Kale, my sons, And she says, well, maybe it would be worth it. But on the most part, for most of us, when push comes to shove, we're not going to choose to experience pain. But God's not like us. God's not like us. And the thing that's amazing is whether it's in this passage or whether it's as you read throughout the scriptures, you see God choosing to experience pain often. As a matter of fact, this very same thing is what drives him to actually send his son to that cross. And as he watches those people drive the nails into the arm of his son and into the feet of his son, as he takes your sin and my sin and he places that upon Jesus Christ so Jesus Christ can die in your place and my place, God decides he chooses to experience unbelievable, excruciating pain. I don't do that. But then there are those moments in life, like in my wife's life, when she looks at our sons and realizes that maybe there's something better. When we realize that love is actually better. When we realize that, as we talked about last week, what is most important is actually people. And in your life, and in my life, God sends his son to that cross to be able to make sure that there's nothing that would ever come between you and him, to be able to get something greater, which is what? People, which is what? You. And over and over and over again throughout this story, over and over and over again throughout this narrative, as you read through the scriptures, you see God choosing to experience pain for people. And as we walk through this circumstance, and as we walk through this past week, and as we come to today, I want you to know something. Jesus wept. And in your life and in my life, as you're walking through these difficult situations, when we walk into brokenness, I want you to know that you are not alone. And in your life and in my life, I guarantee you there, as for some of you, as you walked through this week, you thought, God, why didn't you show up earlier? And you thought, man, you know what? God's abandoned me. God's given up on me. It's all lost. The first thing I want you to know in this circumstance is that God has not abandoned you. And that as you walk through that, Jesus wept. And when we walk through those circumstances, it's not just us who experiences the pain. He experiences the pain as well. And I don't care what pain you experienced this week, he experienced that pain with you. And you do not weep alone. Not just because you have people next to you, but because God weeps with you. And just as he did in this circumstance, he wants to be able to come alongside of you and to be able to mourn with you, to grieve with you. And for some of you, that speaks directly to your circumstance today. For some of you, that speaks directly to what you've experienced this past week and the loss that you've experienced this past week. For others of you, that speaks to the relationship situation that you might be in or what's happening inside your life emotionally. Because for some of us, you're here today, and the truth is this past week, it may have inconvenienced you a little bit, but it didn't actually cost you anything. But when you look at your life and you look at that marriage that's about to fall apart, and you look at that friendship that you've lost, or you look at how you've been betrayed over here, in that situation, you feel like God's just abandoned you. And I want you to know that he hasn't. And that when you weep, he weeps. That when you mourn, he mourns. And when you lost everything this week, he wept. And when you were raped, he wept. And when you were betrayed, he wept. You see, God doesn't just leave us in this brokenness to pursue people and expect just us to experience this pain. He experiences this pain with us. But as we've said over and over and over again here at Hoboken Grace, God continues to allow this broken world to move forward because he is not yet done pursuing people. Because he is not yet done completing his family. But I want you to know that he doesn't just leave you here. He doesn't just leave me here. He doesn't just expect us to walk through it. He walks through it with us. Every single step of the way. He doesn't just expect us to walk through the pain in order to be able to continue to reach people, in order to be able to continue to see this family expand. He experiences the pain himself. And for us, we think, man, if you could avoid it, you should avoid it. But that's not the way God thinks, because God thinks that expanding the family, that God thinks that reaching more people, that God thinks that loving more people and them knowing his love is more important than the pain that he feels. And so we continue to move forward. One of the first steps in recovery is understanding that you're not alone. And that the pain that you felt, the pain that you feel, he feels it too. And in these situations, I want you to know not only that you're not alone, but I also want for us to be able to grab hold of the fact that this is how God works. And as we move into these situations, we're presented with an unbelievable opportunity to be able to demonstrate God's love, right? Over the last few days, we've been presented with an unbelievable opportunity to demonstrate God's love to the people around us. But I want you to know that that demonstrating God's love, it's not just about serving. It's not just about, okay, what can I do? And I get plugged in. Demonstrating God's love, when it comes down to it, when you begin to look at it, and the way that he moves and the way that he operates, if you're going to demonstrate God's love, it's going to mean that you're not just going to serve, but you're going to actually move into situations that are going to cause you pain and loss for the sake of the people around you. See, if we're really going to demonstrate God's love, it's not just going to be because we do what's convenient over the next few days and over the next few weeks. It's going to be because we move into the lives of our neighbors. We move into the lives of our city, and we're willing to experience loss and pain for the sake of those around us. And at this moment, it would be really easy for those of us who are beginning to get power to just get back to life as usual and ignore the fact that there are people still inside the city who have nowhere to go, who don't know what tomorrow looks like, and who are going to go to bed tonight freezing. But that's not okay. That's not what God's love looks like. God's love looks like those who have the opportunity to step out of darkness, choosing to step back into darkness in order to be able to bring light. And if we're going to demonstrate God's love to the world around us, it's going to be because we choose not just to serve, but we choose to sacrifice. We choose to experience pain and loss for the sake of those around us. But I also want you to know today that this story is not just a story of destruction. This story is not just a story of loss. Because as the story continues and you see Jesus sitting there weeping, Jesus stands up and he asks them to take him to the tomb. And when they get to the tomb, Jesus says just three words that change everything. I want to share with you those three words. I'll start a few verses earlier. It says, "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." I think that's John just inserting a little bit of humor in the midst of the story. All right, listen, it's going to smell really bad. You're really late, Jesus. It's not like you're a little bit late. You're really late. It's going to smell terrible. You don't want to see what's in there. Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all those people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave cloths, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." You see, this isn't just a story of brokenness. This is a story of resurrection. And in your life and in my life, as God moves in the midst of this broken world, he's not just weeping alongside of us, but he's also moving into our situations and beginning to restore that which was broken, to raise back to life that which seems that it has absolutely, positively no hope, to bring light into the dark. And as we move into our community, and as we move into the next few weeks, I want you to know something. God is always raising things from the dead. God is always restoring that which is broken. And sometimes we don't understand his timing. We don't understand how it works out. But I know two things for sure from this story. Number one, he's with us every step of the way. He feels the pain that we feel. And then beyond that, he is constantly, constantly working to restore. And if you're here today and you lost everything this past week, I want you to know something. God is your provider. And if you will trust him, you will see God's glory and God will provide for you. For others of you, it's not that situation. It's not that you lost everything this week, but it's that broken relationship. It's that marriage that's just crumbling. It's that friendship that's just done, that partnership that's destroyed. Let me tell you something. God can restore. And what we're about to walk into for the next 6 weeks is all about that restoration process. It's all about recovery. And make no mistake about it, if you trust him, God can restore. God is constantly moving to bring that which was dead back to life. And for some of you, it may be your circumstances. For some of you, it may be relationships. And for some of you, it may just be your soul. And you walked in here this morning because you found out that there's a service going on. You've never been to Hoboken Grace before in your entire life. Or maybe you've been journeying with us for a while, but you know that if you're honest with yourself, you're dead. You know that you need not just for God to resurrect your circumstances, but for God to actually resurrect you, to bring you back to life. And if that's you and you're here today, I want you to know something. I want you to know that God chose pain. That God chose unbelievable destruction to experience that himself, to put Jesus Christ on that cross, to take on your sin and my sin, to literally as Father and Son be ripped apart for the first time for all of time so that he could bring you back to life, so that he could restore you and your soul. And if you'll trust him, if you'll ask him to, he will bring you back to life. See, this is a God who's constantly, constantly, constantly working to restore. And I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what your circumstance is. If you trust him and you follow him, you will see the glory of God as he restores you. And I'm not saying you're going to get everything. I'm not talking about, man, you're going to be rich and all these other things that people talk about. I'm talking about he's going to move in your life to be able to show you the fullness of what it means to experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all the things that matter most. He has not abandoned you. He will not abandon you. And he calls you to trust him and experience that restoration. But not just to trust him, but to also move with him. To be able to come alongside of him and to begin to do the same for the people around us. That's what we've been doing all week, right? To be able to come alongside of him and to begin to move into situations where we can begin to bring restoration. And one of the most phenomenal things about me for this past week is to watch so many people who are a part of our family stop caring about themselves at all, because there's something phenomenal that happens when you begin to experience God's restoration, when you begin to believe that God is on your side, that God is for you, not against you. All of a sudden, you can move into situations like we've had this past week, and even though you've experienced loss, you don't care because it's not about you. You know that God's going to take care of you. You get to just take care of the people around you. Something beautiful about when you begin to move with God that way. And I saw so many of our family do that this past week. And as we come to this point, it's not just that we know that he's with us. It's not just that we know that he can restore us, but it's also that we begin to partner with him and say, okay, God, who do you want to bring restoration to around me? And how can I do that? And so today, as we come through this in a little bit, I'm going to have a couple guys come up here and pray for us and pray for our city. But as we come into this, I want to give you three different action steps today coming out of this message. The first one is this. I want you to find one person in your life that you're going to help restore inside this city. One person that you're just going to adopt. Maybe you know a neighbor's down the street and you walk by, their apartment's just filled with water. One person that you're going to walk into their life and say, hey, listen, maybe it's just a neighbor who lost power, and you go in and say, listen, how can I help you refill your fridge? I know you lost all the food in your house. How can I help you refill that over this next week? But you take one person, just start with one person, not big grand things, just one person. And if you take care of that person, you're like, I'm going to keep going, take another person, but just one person that you're going to help restore. The second thing that I want you to do is this. I want you to get to know at least two of your neighbors. How many of you got to know your neighbors a lot better this week, more than you ever have before? How many of you learned the names of your neighbors for the first time this week? All right, let's be honest here. We don't talk to our neighbors in Hoboken. But what we also saw in the midst of this situation is that it limited our ability to be able to bring restoration, because we probably hadn't done what we needed to do beforehand. And knowing who our neighbors are, knowing their names, being able to walk in situations where they'll trust us because they actually know us. Get to know at least two of your neighbors. And I'm not just talking about, hey, how are you? But actually get to know them. Invite them over for dinner. We have a unique opportunity right now to be able to really get to know the people who live beside us. Get to know your neighbors. Bring restoration. And then number three,
Just be looking at, as we move into this next week, as a church family, we're going to be launching different initiatives here and there, like our grill stations today. We've got two cleanup projects, I believe, that are going on right now, or one cleanup project that's going on right now and one that's about to launch as soon as we finish this service. But watch the Facebook and the Twitter feed, and if you can be there, if you can help out, be there. Make that happen. And I know for some of you, you're like, I'm not going to be able to do that. I got to work. Then here's the thing. We've started a fund here at Hoboken Grace to be able to help people in these situations. And we're looking to do things like $100 grocery cards where we can hand out to people as stores begin to open back up. And we can go in and say, hey, listen, we just want to help you refill your fridge and get back on your feet and moving forward again. So we've created a fund. It's just a disaster assistance fund, and you can give to that. And you're like, man, I just got to work. Good. You're making the money to be able to help the people who are on the street. All right? So you take the money, and you give it to people who are able to be out there helping, and we'll do it together as a family. You see, the great thing about being a part of a family like this is that you don't have to do it as an individual. We could never do what we've done this past week if we weren't a family, if it wasn't all of us together. I want you to know today, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've walked through, you haven't walked one step alone. I want you to know that God experiences and feels the pain that you feel. That He hasn't called us to be part of this broken world, to be a light in the darkness on our own, but He moves with us. That He weeps when you weep, that He weeps when we weep, that He mourns with those who mourn. I want you to know that God's love is a love that doesn't just serve, but a love that sacrifices. I want to invite you to trust Him, that He can restore your situation, that you don't have to move into this restoration process on your own, but He is with you and He has the ability to be able to bring restoration to the most broken of circumstances. And I want to invite you to move. To move with Him. To not check out of the situation here, but to embrace it. To not run from the darkness, but to pursue the darkness so that in the midst of it, we can be light. John, would you come up? I don't know if Nick is Nick still here? Is Rachel here? Rachel, can you come up? Justin? This morning, I'm going to ask John and Rachel and Justin if they would just to pray over our city. And I'm actually going to divide it up. John, could you pray for those who are here, who are hurting? Who are just lost and don't know where to turn. And Rachel, can you pray for those in our city that are hurting and are lost and don't know where to turn, and how can we help them? And Justin, can you just pray that God would use us to be able to accurately reflect His love in our city, and for those opportunities, not just for them to be there, for us to know about them as we move forward. John?
Father, this morning I want to pray for every single person who's walked through those doors, that they may experience your love today. Whether it's through the message that we've heard Chris speak, or through the music or the person who's sitting right next to them. But God, I know that there is so much we are carrying. Sadness, sorrow, loss. So, Father, I pray that in this moment, you enter into their lives and lift that burden. And if it means that we carry that burden for them, or that the person who's sitting next to them is the one who is going to meet the need, Father, I pray that that happens this morning, that no one leaves this place without being connected, without getting or receiving what they need. And above all else, God, we need you. We need you today, God. We've heard Chris say that you weep with us. God, allow us to not only hear that, allow us to believe it, and for it to comfort us. And may we leave renewed and refreshed because of who you are and what you've done for us. Thank you, God, and just bless each person that is part of our family and who is here today. In your name we pray.
Dad, I want to pray for all the people in this room and all the people in our community and even outside of our community who have lost some of their belongings or know people who have or are just emotionally just drained from things that they've experienced and things that they've seen and maybe in the different ways that they've been serving. And I just want to pray for those people who need help right now, that you would come into their situation and that you would really just give them the strength and the energy and just even just the security to be able to move through their situation as their things are recovered and they find places to live. And I want to pray for those people who are serving right now and who are giving of themselves to be able to help their neighbors. I just pray that that you would continue to give them strength as well. It's so hard sometimes to serve and then go home and you may still have lost things and you still might not have power, but to just or even be able to go back home, and it's hard to be able to go back out there and start serving again, Dad. But I ask that you would help us to be able to do that and really love the people around us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Father, you're amazing. And you have so much love that you are ready to pour out into our lives and into the lives of the people who live here. And you're ready, Lord. You're ready to love them. You're ready to show them that you're their Father and that you care about them. And so, God, help us. Help us, Lord, to be your hands. Help us, Lord, to be there, ready to help our neighbors, ready to help our friends, ready to help the strangers, people we don't even know who we just see that need it. As Rachel said, Lord, give us your strength. Give us your power to love. Give us your power to act, to influence these people, to be in their lives, to help them muck out the things that have been destroyed, to help them purge that which has been ruined. Help us, Lord, to know where you want us to go. Give us your eyes. Give us your ears. Help us, Lord, to see where you want us to go so that we can be there and show them how much you love them. Give us the power. Give us the strength. And Lord, I just pray that all of us here, Lord, that we have an opportunity to reach out and love someone, reach out and act, reach out and do something for them. Dad, you're amazing. And we hope the whole world will know how much you love them and how great you are. Amen.